Amen. Let's turn back in our Bibles once again on this Sunday to Galatians chapter 3, that Paul's great defense, remember, we're continuing, of his great defense of the doctrine of justification by faith alone, through grace alone, and in Christ alone. That's what chapters 3 and 4, these incredible verses, it's been called the greatest defense of justification by faith anywhere in the entire Word of God. And so this great message that Paul is defending, that he's against these false teachers, remember that the book of Galatians answers the most important question in all of the world to every generation. What is it that makes a true believer? Is it faith alone in Christ alone, or is it just faith plus something else that's how you're saved? In other words, faith plus legalism or works and so forth. We know that salvation is by faith alone, by grace alone, through Christ alone. Amen? Now, with all that being said, just a reminder, you know that the churches of Galatia, that they'd been invaded now by all these false teachers, these Judaizers, if you will. And they kind of slithered in. So when it says the churches of Galatia, it's not one church. It's many, many churches there throughout that region. And so they're teaching a different gospel. They're teaching now the gospel of works to these believers who just simply believed by faith. And now they're saying, no, it's the gospel of legalism or the gospel of works. So they perverted the truth of God's word. And they even denied that Jesus Christ was enough. It would be Jesus plus something else. Matter of fact, they actually exalted the law of Moses above the incredible, unconditional, undeserved, unearned grace of the living God. Now, with all that being said, this morning I labored very much over in prayer over how to teach this to you this morning. This is a tremendous chapter to me, or these verses, ones that if the church would only embrace and truly believe, I tell you what, I don't know what would truly happen in our cities and in our lives. Incredible change. Matter of fact, when we get down to verse 26 in chapter 3, loved one, as I've said all of my teaching time throughout many, many years now, it should be literally read on our knees. May we embrace God's word this morning. I want to talk about the sons of God. Now, when I use the term sons of God, that doesn't exclude women, okay? It means the sons and the daughters of God, the children of God. So keep that in mind as we go through this text this morning. And let's begin in Galatians 3, and let's do it start in 24. It says, therefore, Paul writes, the law was our tutor, remember? The tutor, the guardian, and so forth. The reason to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified, how? By faith, declared man legally, perfectly innocent in the eyes of the living God, justified. Now that faith has come, we're no longer under the supervision of the law. In other words, the ceremonial law has no further claims on those who are in Christ Jesus. But look at this next verse. It says, for you are all sons of God. What a word. How are we sons of God? It says through faith in Christ Jesus. Listen, when Paul says for you, he's not just speaking to Gentiles. He's speaking to Jews. He's speaking to anyone, loved one, who is in Christ Jesus. If you are a born-again believer, you are a son, you are a daughter of the living God. That is our position, our incredible position in Christ. And Paul says, why in the world? He's talking to the church of Galatia or us this morning. Why in the world would any believer want to go back to an inferior position to the law? Why would any believer turn away from God's grace when you're already a son of the living God, a daughter of the living God, and the law can't save you, the law can't remove your sin, the law can't justify you, the law is powerless to even prevent you from sinning. The law can never make sons and daughters. Never. It's only through faith in Christ Jesus and no one else. That's how you become a legitimate son of the living God. Therefore, in Paul's argument, he's telling them this. Therefore, it can't be by the law. It can't be by human effort. It can't be by legalism. Only by faith in one person. only the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember Galatians 2:16? It tells us, therefore, by works, no flesh, no one will ever be justified. John 1:12, what a great scripture. It says, as many as received him, meaning Jesus, he gave them the right to become, here it is, children of God. What you had never been before, a child of God, a son of God, a daughter of God, to those who believe in his name, the name above all names, the only name given unto man by which you can be saved, and that is Jesus Christ. Amen? Now look at the next verse. For as many of you, he says, as were baptized into Christ, look what has happened, you have put on Christ. Meaning that to put on Christ means that God the Father now sees you perfectly complete in his Son, the one who died for us. Amen? Now listen, I don't confuse this word baptism. This has nothing to do with water, okay? This is not an outward thing. This is something that happens inwardly to the believer. Whenever you put your faith in Christ Jesus, immediately by the Holy Spirit of God, you are placed in the body of Christ and you become the temple of the living God. The scripture that you can back that up with is 1 Corinthians 12:13, where it says, for by one Spirit, meaning the Holy Spirit, we are all immersed, are baptized into one body. So in other words, now we're all united together, okay? Whether you're a Jew, whether you're a Greek, whether you're a slave or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. That is called the new birth. That's called the new creation in Christ. Therefore, there is neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither slave or free. There's neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. What does that mean? It means, loved one, if you are a believer, you're a son of God, a daughter of God. It means that regardless of race, nationality, education, whatever it might be, there is no racial distinctions. We are all equal in Christ Jesus. Amen? Yes, we're the family of God. Did you know we're the most important family on this earth? We're the only family that has the only book that came down from heaven. Do you understand? We are the family of God. We're the children of God. We're the body of Christ. We're the church of the living God. We're not only sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. We're all one in Christ Jesus. And not only that, man, we are heirs of God. Think about that. Do you ever just love to read about who you are in Christ? Revelation 1:5, let me read it to you. It says, to him who loved us, washed us from our sins with his own blood, and listen to what he's done, and made us kings, and made us priests to his God and Father. That's what Jesus has done for us. We're heirs, loved one. Look at this. And if you are Christ, and we are, he says, then you're Abraham's seed and heirs according to promise. Not works, not physical descent, okay? We're not Jews. No, heirs according to the promise. What promise is that? Genesis 12:3 goes all the way back to the promise, the unconditional promise that God made, or promises that God made unto Abraham. And you, Abraham, all the families of the earth will be blessed. How did that come about? Well, through Abraham came all the way down through the centuries, Christ Jesus the Lord, the Messiah, amen? And we are now in Christ, but we inherit the promise. What promise is that also? That is justification by faith. We're saved just like Abraham was saved. Remember Galatians, what is it, 3:6? Abraham believed and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. That's all he did. That's all we did. So you can't be in Moses, loved one, if you're in Christ, amen? All right, look at the next scripture. Now we're going to chapter 4. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a what? A child. Now watch this. He doesn't differ at all from a slave, though he is the master of all. So the heir, the child, even though he's a little boy, little girl, whatever it might be here, loved one, he is still the rightful heir to everything that his father possesses. Amen? Okay, now watch what he says. He says, but, pardon me, in other words, but as long as he's a little child, little boy, he says, but is under guardians and stewards until the time appointed by the Father. So you know the story. We learned that the last time a few weeks ago when we were in chapter 3, remember? That, you know, the law was like our tutor. It was our guardian. It was our steward. It led us to Christ. Amen? And that's what he's saying here. But this is a Roman illustration Paul is using. He's saying that that little boy, even though he's heir of everything in the family, he's the rightful heir, the legal heir, but he's still treated like a slave, even though he's the owner of all that his father has because he's not old enough yet. And only the father determines when that child is old enough to become the heir. Now, it says, even so we, Jews, Gentiles, even so we, when we were children, that means we're not children anymore, that's past tense. See, when faith came, we trusted Christ, amen? So it says, let me read it again. So, when we were children, were in bondage, or slaves under the elements of the world. What is Paul saying? Did you know there's like 1,000 interpretations of that scripture? But to know your text, read the context. Are we talking about law and grace? It has to be the law. And so I look at this and I say, the elements, what does that mean? Well, that word means elementary, like teaching a little child the ABCs, okay? And so Paul is saying, listen, you know, for a while you were being governed by legalism, and little children, they need those boundaries, amen? That's right. Children need restraints. But see, after faith came, after you learned all your little ABCs, you're no longer a little child. You're a full-grown adult. Look at the next one. But when the fullness of time had come, that perfect time in history, God did something. He sent forth his son. He sent Jesus on a mission to save us. He says, born of a woman and born under the law. So the coming of Christ wasn't some accident that happened on this planet. It was a divine appointment. Oh, James, John 1:14, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. Yeah, the God-man. Listen, it wasn't when the world was ready. It was when God was ready, amen? God's in control of history, loved one. So just as the human father said, okay, son, you're now old enough to become an adult, Jesus did the same thing. The Heavenly Father chose the exact time for Jesus coming into this world to take us from the law to faith to spiritual sons and daughters, his children. Now, it says there, when the fullest of time, God sent forth his son, here it comes, born of a woman. Now, that tells us how our Lord came. I don't even need to really talk about these verses. You know that Jesus came and how he came. He wasn't born, did you say born of woman, not born of man? Why? Because the Holy Spirit overshadowed, thank you, three people. I know you know, I'm just torturing you. No, Mary. And then Jesus was born like every other man, except it was a virgin birth. He was born like every other man, except he was born without sin. He's a spotless, sinless son of the living God. So he says, and then he was born under the law, meaning that Jesus, when he was born a Jew, he was under the demands of the law and so forth. But Jesus was born under the law to satisfy the demands of the law and pay for the penalty of the law, all the law that we broke. Amen? That's right. Jesus came and he was born to do what no one has ever, ever done before. To not only live a perfect life, but to keep the law of God absolutely, perfectly. Unbelievable. And that's exactly what he did. There is only one person, loved one, born of woman, that pleased God the Father in everything that he did. Every thought, every action, every deed was absolutely perfect in the eyes of God. His name is Jesus Christ. The Bible says in John 8:29, Jesus said, I do always those things that please the Father. Aren't you glad that you're in him? Amen. Now look at verse 5. And it says, we were born under the law. It says, he was born under the law to redeem those who were under the law. Why? That we might receive the adoption as sons. meaning sons of God, daughters of God. So Jesus was born under the law. He lived under the law. He died under the law to pay the penalty that we broke. And it says the purpose to redeem us. That means to purchase a slave off the auction block and to set him free, and he can never be sold again. Man, we belong to Jesus. Amen. We belong to God. We are the children of the living God. Now, watch this now. It says, and because you were sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. That's Abba, Aramaic for daddy or for papa, a beautiful word. We are children of God by adoption. We are sons and daughters of God because God has adopted us. He's made us his children. Does that ever just blow you away? I mean, it blows me away, loved one. Listen, I'm going to talk about adoption in a deeper way in just a moment, but this is the same word that Jesus used, remember, in Mark's gospel. It's chapter 14, I forget the verse, whenever he was in the garden and he says, he cried out, oh, Abba, Father, not thy will, but not my will, but thy will be done. Remember? We cry out the same thing that our Lord did. Our relationship with God the Father, because you're sons and daughters of God, is so personal, so intimate, that we can call God our Father. Actually, we can call him Abba, Dad, Daddy, Papa. That's unbelievable to me. And I'm so thankful for that. And the reason we can do that is because we are sons and daughters of God. Therefore, he says, you are no longer a what? You're no longer a slave. You're no longer to the slave, to the Moses, the devil, your flesh, or anything or anyone, but a son. Praise God for that. And if you are a son, or if a son, now look at this, then an heir of God by works. Oh, I'm sorry. That was Pastor Kendall's translation. I'm just joking, brother. Not real, no. No, look at it. And if a son, then an heir of God. Say those three words, heir of God. Why aren't we, where's the tambourines? Why aren't we shouting? Why aren't we telling the world that we are heirs, not of Bill Gates or, come on. We're heirs of the living God. I tell you, I read that and I tell you, I get excited. What does it mean? That means that we have inherited the Father's estate. Why? Because we are his sons. God is going to give us, give everything that Jesus possesses, we're going to possess. Why? We're heirs of God. We're sons of God by faith alone in Christ Jesus. Now hold your place and turn to the book of Romans with me. And let's just look at something. I want to get into the words adoption and other things a little deeper from what Paul is saying here. But go to Romans chapter 8 and look. Let's look at beginning in verse 12, talking about sons of God, daughters of God. Romans 8, 12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh, for if you live according to the flesh, you're going to die. But if by the Spirit, meaning the Holy Spirit, you put to death the deeds of the body, you'll live. Here it comes. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, as many as are led by the Spirit of God. These are the what? These are the sons of God. Did you know that's the first time Paul uses sons of God there in Romans? And it's speaking there about male and female. It's neuter, okay? So look at it again. For as many as are baptized, no. Many as attend the right church, no. Dress the right way. No. No. That are led of your own volition. You love the Lord. You want to be led by the Spirit of God. He says, oh, listen, these are the sons of God. And those that are not led by the Spirit of God are not the children of God, loved one. Listen, true sons are led by the Spirit of God. You know what he does? He weans us from this crummy, stinking world. He grows us up. He illuminates, like I say all the time, every page of the Bible. That's what he wants to do. If you're led by the Spirit, that means he is now the controlling influence in your life. You want to hear the Holy Spirit. You want to hear his voice, but you also want to hear the voice of the Word of God. You want him to lead you and guide you. And we are obligated to the Holy Spirit of God, the divine helper of the church. Why? Well, because we are sealed, Ephesians 4:30, we are sealed by the Spirit until the very day of redemption. It says, don't grieve him. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Don't make him sad. Don't vex him. Oh, loved one, listen. It says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. That means to me that we have an obligation. Why? Because of the dignity of our position. Think about that. We are sons and daughters of God. I do not know what has stiffened the heart or hardened up the heart of the church today. But, loved one, I'm going to tell you, when I read that, first it humbles me. It breaks my heart. I know I fail. But it doesn't change my position. We are right now and forever will be sons and daughters of the living God. And I think, oh, Lord, help us to walk worthy of our calling. Listen to me now. Sons of God and daughters of God, they have a lifestyle apart from everyone in the world. They're led supernaturally by the Holy Spirit that lives in us. Amen. Look what he says, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear. In other words, we're not slaves to anything, but you received the spirit of what? There's that word that I wanted to talk about, the spirit of adoption, meaning the spirit of sonship and daughtership, by whom we cry out, and there Paul uses the same word again, Abba, Father. So he gives us the same example in Romans as he does there in Galatians. If you go back and study out Rome, okay, that time period. They had what was called the ceremony, the fathers, they had what was called the ceremony of the togas, if you will. And man, Roman adoption was very, very serious in Paul's time, in Jesus' times too. Now, it says, whenever the father, for example, determined that that son who had been under tutors, been under stewards and guardians, raising him up, he may be 15, maybe 18, whatever the father determines, you're no longer a little boy. You're no longer a child. Put away your toys now. You're now a man. And so what would the father do? The father would walk over to the son and remove the boy's toga, drop it to the ground. He would take off his toga, and then he would put it upon the son. When he did that, that declared to everyone, it was irreversible, everyone, that now he was the heir of everything that his father had. Now, if you were adopted, though, in Rome, in other words, you weren't born into that family, man, let me tell you how serious it was. Whenever a person was a boy, he was placed as a son permanently under that adoption into the Roman family, okay? And not only that, he became then a son forever. And listen, whatever that adopted son had done, whatever it was, whatever legal obligations, it doesn't matter what it was, they were now forever erased like they had never, ever existed. Does that sound familiar? Boy, Dale, listen. It says in Isaiah 61:10, oh, I greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in God, for he hath clothed me with the garments, or the toga, if you will, of salvation. He's covered me with the robe of righteousness. Isn't that what the prodigal father did to the prodigal son? All the shame, all the guilt. He was out living a wicked lifestyle, and the father had been waiting on him, and he came home and got the sandals and the ring, and he was filthy, living in the pig pen. My God, the prodigal father said, my son, no one will see his shame. Give me that robe, the best robe. Put it on him. Covered up all where he had been. That's what God has done for you. That's what God has done for me. Oh, listen, We are members of God's family as sons and daughters with full adult rights. We're children, but we're also full grown because we are in Christ Jesus. Guess what? God kicked us out of the Adams family. Amen? Isn't that good? Yes. Shut the door on that. We can never go back to Adam because we're in Christ. And everything that we have ever done, sin, past, present, future, Jesus paid for our sin debt upon the cross. We are members now of the family of God. We're citizens of heaven. You know, think about natural adoption and spiritual adoption. I've used this for years, and you probably remember. I said, let's say, for example, that I adopt my brother right there. Now, you know what I mean? Now, you're my son. But here's the deal. When I die, you can have everything I have, which is nothing. Matter of fact, you might have to pay for my funeral. But everything I have is now yours. Everything, whatever it is. But one thing. I can never, if I adopt you, I can never give you my nature. Does that make sense? That's a natural or human adoption. But that's not what happens when God adopts you. Do you understand? Let me give you the scripture. 2 Peter 1:3, watch this. It says, as his divine power, meaning all the power of the Godhead, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by his glory and virtue. Now listen, that divine power has given us all things. That is a past fact and a very present reality. We have everything we need to live a godly life. Amen? Nothing needs to be added. The one who called us, loved one, has now enabled us. Let me keep reading. It says in 2 Peter 1:4, by which we have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises. Boy, the promises of God. Did you hear what it said? They have been given to you. I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. That's a promise from God. Exceedingly great and precious promises that through these promises, listen, you may be partakers or share in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. We're partakers. Did you catch that? We are partakers of the divine nature of God. And I'm going to tell you something. I fear that the church, those words are too familiar today. Listen, we, in us, partakers, we have the divine DNA of God living in us. Amen? Not in our flesh, in our spirit. Loved one, we have not only that, we have the divine power, we have the divine nature, we have divine gifts that are living in us right now. 1 Peter 4:10, each person has a gift. God has given everyone a gift, a supernatural gift. We have all those things in us. Now look at verse 15 again. But you receive the spirit of adoption by where we cry out, Abba, Father. That's that Aramaic word again. Here it comes. The Spirit, meaning the Holy Spirit, himself, look what happens, bears witness with, not to, with our spirit that we are what? We're the sons and we're the daughters of God. We're the children of God. What is the witness of the Spirit himself? It is the moment that you're born from again, as you grow. Listen, you know that he saved you. You know that there's something different. The moment that Christ, that I was born again on that beach in Florida, I'm telling you, the moment, I didn't know anything about God. I didn't know anything about the Word. I certainly didn't know anything about grace or Jesus or anything else. But I'll never forget it. I think of it often. The moment I bowed my head, he took my hand, I prayed that prayer. As God is my witness this very second, when I looked up and opened my eyes, I don't know, everything just seemed different. Everything seemed different. I was different. I don't know how to even explain it, except the Spirit himself bore witness with my spirit that we are, that I was, the children of God. Loved one, you are the sons and the daughters of God. And it says, and since we are children, then heirs. Look at here, it is again, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer him, that we may also be glorified together, and one day we will, that's future. Listen, everything that Christ receives by divine right, we receive by divine grace. Amen? I say, oh Lord, in Christ, listen to me, in Jesus, we're in Jesus. We have been given so much in our Savior. Heaven can't give you anything else. Do you understand? There's no more. You have everything. You have everything right now, right this very minute. And you will have it until the day you close your eyes and walk into heaven. I think, oh God, I'm an heir of God. You know the value of, you know, we all have wills. I have wills, and I have some wheels too. You know, I'm just, help me, Lord. You know, you take a break and you kind of lose the edge. You know what I mean? The value of anyone's inheritance is determined by the worth of the individual. Is that right? What about God? He is our Father. Let me give you a couple of scriptures. Psalm 24:1. The earth is the Lord's and all its fullness, the world and all those who dwell in it. Psalm 50, verse 10. Every, God says, every beast of the forest is mine, the cattle on a thousand hills. Haggai 2:8. The silver is mine, God says. The gold is mine. Man, listen. Our inheritance is from the Creator and the Sustainer and the Owner of all things everywhere. Amen. Oh, I look at that and I say, Lord, this is too much for me. Not only that, you know what the Bible teaches us about our inheritance? God, our Father, is not only the source of our inheritance now, He Himself is our inheritance. Lamentations 3:24, the Lord is our portion. Think about that. The Lord Himself is our portion. How can any true informed, knowledgeable believer in Christ Jesus, a son of the living God, be apathetic about the things of God unless they are not being led by the Spirit of God? How can a son of God, a daughter of God, refuse to forgive other people? Come on. We own everything. Oh, he hurt my... Oh, be like the Lord. You're a son of God. Act like him. Be imitators of Christ Jesus. Amen? How can we not love other people? How can we refuse to give God our time? The very breath that we have belongs to him. Or serve him. Or support the kingdom of God. How can we, or any church, any believer, do that? The Bible tells us in Ephesians 1:3, blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. Past tense, has blessed us. How? With every spiritual blessing which is in Christ Jesus in the heavenlies and upon this planet. We cannot receive any more love, any more power, any more of his goodness. Man, listen, or any more of his divine nature. We have everything that we need. Why? Well, we're sons and daughters of God. How can we refuse to do what he wants us to do? You know, the scary scripture is 1 John 3:10. For in this the children of God and the children of the devil, they are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness, they're not of God. That means an habitual lifestyle. Not only that, nor is he who does not love his brother. If we see someone or someone is living, they call themselves a Christian, they're not practicing righteousness and they don't love their brother, then their loved one, listen to me, those things don't come from God. If a person, they come from the wicked one, amen? Yeah. Oh, listen, turn back with me now. Let's go back to Galatians and look at verse 8. Just a few minutes, bear with me. Yeah, verse 8. Paul says, man, listen, there's no turning back if you're a true believer. He says, but then indeed you did not know God, but you served those by nature that are not gods. In other words, he's saying, listen, before you were converted, before you came, you were serving all those pagan idols and you were into idolatry and so forth, man. You were slaves. But now, after you have known God, and here it comes, or rather are known by God, meaning you're born again. You came to Christ through faith. You're a son and daughter of the living God. Paul says, how is it? In the Greek, that would be like saying, I'm shocked, I'm blown away. He says, how is it that you turn again to the weak and beggarly elements? In other words, the poverty of the law, to which you desire again to be in bondage. Don't miss that word desire, loved one. That means the choice was theirs. They desired it. They wanted that. Paul says, now that you're a son and daughter of the living God, why do you want to go back into slavery? You're Gentiles. You didn't even have the law anyway. Why are you letting these Judaizers do those things to you? Why do you want to go back under the law since you're adult sons and live like little children under the law, under legalism? He goes and he says, listen, how can you turn away from grace and truth to a powerless legalism that cannot save, that can never justify, and can never make sons and daughters of God? He said, you observe days, you observe months, you observe seasons, meaning Sabbath days and the feast, Passover, tabernacles, and so forth. He says, oh, listen, I am afraid for you. He's not afraid of them. He says, I'm afraid for you, lest I have labored for you in vain. In other words, because you're turning back to legalism and turning away from grace. That word observe, it's not a good translation, okay? It means to rigidly observe. I mean, just, I don't miss this feast. I don't do that. But they're Christians. They're believers. And they're doing it to gain merit or favor of God. Paul says, that's absolutely impossible. Now listen to me. Sons and daughters of God mean something. It means that you are forever changing on this planet. Okay, listen, the Bible tells us, but we all in 2 Corinthians 3:18, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed. It says that ongoing process of sanctification, are being transformed, it says, into the same image, the image of Jesus, the same heart, the same mind, the same thinking, the same actions, from glory to glory by the Spirit of the Lord. We're in one of the greatest seasons in the life of this church, in the history of this church. Loved one, if we are going from glory to glory as sons and daughters of God, that means we should be more and more like Jesus, not less and less like Jesus. Isn't that right? Yes. Oh, listen, we live in a time of such apathy, but there is no room for apathy in the church. We must live what we claim to be, and we must do it now. Listen to me. How many single mothers with their children and grandparents raising their children's children are going to be here December 5th, 6th, maybe the 7th as well? How many? We don't know. I know at least 1,000. That could be that right there would mean 2,000 people. Does that make sense? Because of the children. How do we know that as some of those grandparents or mothers pass through and we love on them and all, how do we know that that might not be the last Christmas they ever have? Do you understand me? See, they must hear the gospel. That's the whole point of this outreach. They must be told about Jesus. Listen, sons of God are fishers of God. Fishers of men. Sons of God are ambassadors for Christ. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 5, 9? What did he say? Blessed are the what? Peacemakers. Only there in the New Testament, peacemakers. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called what? The sons of God. Now, so many people, that means, Bill, we've got to have politics to get peace. That's not what it's talking about. World peace, that's not what it's talking about. It's not that kind of peace at all. That's not what Jesus meant with that word, peacemaker. You know what a peacemaker is to Jesus? peacemaker is one who shows one who doesn't have peace with God how to have peace with God. And his name is Jesus Christ. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. We are living in a time, and I know I'm going long. I'm not either. We have plenty of time. There's plenty of coffee back there too. We might take up another offering. You know I'm teasing you. We live in a time, listen to me now, I love you, but we live in a time in the church level, you know, when we need to wake up because we're no longer killing the giants. It's like we've been tamed. And you know what we're doing? We're learning to live with giants now. Okay, we can do it. We can all tolerate it. No. You need to kill those giants. It's time. It's time to work. It's time to pray. It's time to give. There'll be sign-up sheets soon. Every person, I need you to be there. I need everybody out there working, and you'll be trained in all that we're going to do. Okay, don't worry. You know, the Bible tells us in 1 John 3, it says, behold, in verse 1, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon those, that they would be called the children of God. The love, behold what manner, is one word in the Greek. It means literally a love that's not found on this planet. It means a love that is out from another world, heaven. It means God's love. He's poured out his love upon you, and he calls us children of God. You know, every time I quote or listen or read that scripture, let me tell you what it does for me. If that scripture doesn't make you jump up and down, then you don't know where you've come from or where you came from. You don't know where God found you. You don't know, you don't remember that you were horribly helpless and hopeless and in sin. You don't remember that you weren't a child of God, that you were a child of the wicked one. Do you understand that you were dead in trespasses and sin? You were living in Adam, and the slave in you, that Adamic nature ruled your life. Every time I read that scripture, I go back to that beach, and I know what I was, and I know what I am now. You should embrace that. Father, we bow before you, the sons, the daughters of the living God. Lord God, you're a whirlwind. Oh, it's here. The harvest is right. Yes, Lord, we are preparing. Oh, the days are so near. Oh, the good things that you're doing. Oh, God, let every person jump into this whirlwind. Let us enjoy the incredible adventure on the narrow road with Jesus. I pray for those this morning that may not know you, that when we close with a song, they would come to this altar and say, I want to become a son or a daughter of the living God. And there they'll find people that'll pray with them and love them. And Lord, that those who have needs, let them come as well. We love you. We praise you in the mighty name of Jesus. And we all say, amen.